Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Juliette Tilevi, and joining me this evening to take your questions are Jonathan Fisher from PSG Wealth Sandton Greyston and Willem Oldewacher from Nitrogen Fund Managers. If you'd like to send questions to us, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za or tweet us at businessdaytv using the hashtag Stockwatch. Willem, Jonathan, good to see you both here this evening. Willem, if I may start with you, it is a pretty strong finish for the All Share today, up 1.5%. Resources shares doing well, and and this comes despite a mood that is quite sour in the markets. Were you sort of surprised by today's activity?
Yes, I think we started the month very negatively, and then I think from about Friday there's been a bit of a positive swing. I think it's stemming from tomorrow's CPI print. I think the market is expecting, even though it'll still be incredibly high, the first decrease in US inflation since we started this sort of, I guess, almost hyperinflationary environment. I think expectations are sort of 8% compared to 8.5% the last time we saw a number from them. Important with that, I think the ECB raised rates, and I think this means that the Fed definitely won't need to raise more than 75 pips, and I think maybe they could start being a bit less hawkish going forward. Along with that, I think resources, China sort of story is changing very slowly. There are definitely some more positive commentary, both regarding COVID and just their sort of general growth, along with the fact that their elections are coming up, which means there'll be lots of stimulus. I think those factors, pushing up resource prices and then probably a more bullish US market is flowing through to our markets these last 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see platinum and palladium, especially actually in the last, now up, I think platinum's up about 3%, palladium's up about 4%. So big jumps. Jonathan, presumably that was behind the rally that you saw in shares like Anglo Platinum and Sibanye today, amongst others.
Without a doubt. So, the palladium platinum prices pushing those shares together with all the other platinum shares. And I think just the general bounce in resource counters with higher resource prices here today. I know the dollar's a bit weaker and that might have had a play as well. But it's nice to see a rally like this. I know that we rallied on Friday, American markets rallied. And as we speak now, those markets are also up between 0.5% to 2/3%. So nice to see this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's sustainable. markets are extremely volatile. And
well, I was going to ask if that inflation print that Willem alluded to comes in worse than expected tomorrow, I imagine that all bets are going to be off. I mean, Willem, could you see, if it's higher than the previous month or as high or certainly higher than what expectations are, surely you're going to see an abrupt reversal in this somewhat more benign mood?
Yes, definitely. I think we'll be back to Thursday's prices if that does happen, yes.
John, okay, I'll get into questions and maybe we can sort of talk about the general market down the line. But there's a question that's kind of just come in asking about Telkom and MTN, which is, I suppose, one of the major corporate actions in the South African market at the moment. And it is, if I want to sell Telkom and MTN, how long should I wait for the best price? So I don't know if this is selling Telkom in expectation of a deal going through with MTN. It's not entirely clear from the question. But Jonathan, okay. Firstly, on the point of Telkom, how long should you wait for the best price? I mean, you've got to wait for a deal to be actually struck.
Correct. No one's put, not no one, but I don't think MTN have put a number on the table. I know that they've expressed interest and there's been some very good reports in the last week or so regarding, why MTN and others would be interested in something like Telkom. And it really boils down to Telkom's fiber assets. So my understanding is that Telkom's got one of the largest fiber networks in the country. And any player that wants to be in that space would do well to buy Telkom just for that asset, let alone whatever else comes with it. So I think that's the big carrot. There's other companies that are keen on it too, like Rain, and there's another consortium. I can't recall the name.
Toto.
What's a Toto? Toto? Okay, yes. Not the band. But
not the band, and possibly even a flimsier than the band. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that.
But my point being is there is value there in the business, and there's a lot of there's a lot of red tape that needs to be gotten through for anyone to buy telecom. And part of the reason is that government is still a big shareholder in telecom and always has been since it was started. So that's one of the big hurdles that whoever does decide to make an offer would have to get over, or get over that type of hurdle, as well as appeasing the Competition Commission, that this isn't going to be too monopolistic for one player to control the fibre network. So back, that's the long answer. Back to your viewer or your caller or the person that sent the email, I don't know what the right price is, but I'm inclined to hold out and wait and see what transpires here.
Okay. Willem, would you do the same? I mean, it's quite curious how the market sort of settles at a price, even though, as Jonathan said, no actual figure has been named. And you know, we seem to 49.50, which is where it closed today. Is that the price? I mean, how does the market arrive at a price? Is it rumors? What exactly is it?
Yeah, so I think that's actually a very nice way to think about it. I think it's they're pricing the risk. So this deal, I've been just skeptical from the start. I think the duopoly and ICASA and the Comcom, it all makes it seem very sort of 50-50, and I think that's the price they're at. I think Telkom is trading sort of at 35 Rand, which I think the market's maybe giving a 50% chance that it will go back there. And then I think probably a high 60 to low 70 sort of target price for an offer. I don't think Telkom shareholders would approve anything less. So I think we're sort of floating in the middle of that range. And I think it's actually very fair for Telkom at the moment. In terms of the question, I think the deal and the fact that Rain expressed interest probably means that Telkom is now in play, which means you should be patient. I think there will be some sort of an offer or a deal in the next sort of 6 to 12 months, which means like there's just no reason to sell before that. And like you said, if you want to sell, you can definitely sell at the current price. It's sort of set there, like rock solid. Mm-hmm. So unless you need the liquidity, I think it's a good idea to hold on to your Telkom shares until something transpires.
I mean, if you wanted to hedge yourself, if you were a bit wary that a deal doesn't actually go through, would you sell maybe a portion of your shares now? You could cash in a little bit. If you had something better that you think you might do with the money, would that be a sort of strategic move?
Yeah, it's just your opportunity cost. If you can think of a better idea, which, to be honest, it's sort of cash with a call option, I think it's not the worst place to be in the current equity environment.
Okay.
But what you're saying does make sense. You can maybe sort of sell your telecom and buy something like Vodacom, which is like a good dividend yield, which is a similar sort of place, but there's no downside. So it's almost cash with a put option. And then do something like that just to diversify your portfolio if you're afraid of the deal failing. But you know, the stock's definitely in play, and I think something will come in the, you know, like I said, the next sort of 6 to 12 months.
Just on MTN, would either of you be buying MTN at this point? Because it had this phenomenal rally, I suppose partly linked to what happened to the oil price. I mean, if you plot the two, you know, there's a strong correlation. Jonathan, if MTN were to get Telkom, would you regard that as not just positive for Telkom shareholders, but for MTN shareholders as well? And would you buy MTN in expectation that it gets hold of Telkom as an asset?
So my view on MTN is actually positive. Put aside the Telkom deal completely. I think MTN is a great business, and one saw in their last set of numbers how well they've done. You've said the share price has come off substantially from its recent high. It was above 200 and it's sitting around about 135 now. So certainly a hell of a lot more value at these levels than what it was then. Putting the Telkom deal in the mix, often what you find is an acquiring company, when there's a big announcement, the share price does tend to come off versus the company being acquired. And this might be part of the reason why we're seeing a bit of weakness in MTN recently, the market taking a view that maybe something could happen here. But in the long term, obviously MTN see value in that asset. And I guess to unlock that value for its existing shareholders, in the short term, if a deal is announced, you might see some short-term weakness in the price of MTN. But in the long term, I guess, you know, the fact that they're keen to do something tells you something about their telecom asset.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he would hope so. Willem, your thoughts on MTN? How do you feel about it?
I think that's that was a good answer. I think MTN is going to be a long-term story because this deal, like I said, I'm pretty sure something will come of it, and it's just the way the market works. Hedge funds, proprietary traders, other sort of arbitragers are going to be buying Telkom and selling MTN, and the flow will probably pull Telkom up and pull MTN down. That being said, I agree, the sort of medium to long-term, MTN is not very expensive. And it's a massive operation with decent management, decent cash sort of generation. They are starting to repatriate cash. And even though sort of the share price got a massive shock when oil came down from $120 to $90 with their Nigerian exposure, I think it's worth remembering that oil last year, this time, was probably $60. So I don't think the Nigerian economy is suffering. So I think it's definitely an overreaction. But in the short term, I think MTN will be under pressure just as a share price.
Okay. Just moving back, we were talking about resources stocks at the start of the show, specifically platinum and palladium. And a question has come through asking, please ask the panel, what the future holds for the platinum price in the long run, seeing that platinum is not one of the components of electric vehicles. Willem, can I just stay with you for that, for the time?
Yes, so that's not that easy to answer. Platinum is sort of going from a deficit to a surplus, but I think we're closer to neutral, which means sort of... Even though platinum might not be great, I think if you're buying a sort of a PGM producer, maybe choose somebody with more palladium and rhodium exposure. But there are lots of reasons for platinum to be in demand. Catalytic converters in sort of internal combustion engines aren't going away as soon as people think. There's all these targets coming from, you know, the EU and their buys. But in terms of battery minerals, it doesn't stack up. You can't make enough batteries and solar panels and wiring in the next 10 years to replace all internal combustion engines. So I don't think that's a realistic sort of scenario for the future, which means platinum will probably stay, hopefully stay, let's say, at least sort of in balance and maybe slightly get into a slight surplus sort of supply versus demand in the next, I'm thinking like 8 to 10 years. So yeah. I think it's sort of reached a long-term real price.
I mean, Jonathan, I mean, if it had to go into a slight surplus, it's going to be bad for the price. But is it possible that you would actually just see platinum kind of steady around the $900,000 mark? Do you think there's any chance of it going back to 2000, which is its peak?
Look, I do think so. But, you know, I guess the question was regarding battery-powered vehicles, electric vehicles rather, versus combustion vehicles. And I think I agree that it's going to take a hell of a long time for that conversion to happen. There's so many vested interests in this market. When I say the market, the motor vehicle market with respect to combustion and EV, it's going to take time. I guess it's the same discussion or argument one can have when it comes to energy, producing energy, fossil fuels or green energy. It takes time. And the same thing will happen with this, but it will take time. And for that reason, I still think that platinum, stroke, palladium, rhodium will still be in play for the next at least 10 years, 15 to 20 perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. And a question came through a little bit earlier asking about three investment companies, Investec, 91, and Quilter. So all with UK exposure. And the question was, could your panelists provide the investment case for the three following shares? And also, would it be prudent to hold all shares considering exposure to the UK? Jonathan, starting with you, what would be the investment case? Because there are subtle differences in all three.
Right. Okay, so 91 is actually a stock that we have in our model portfolio. That is the one of the three that we have.
Okay.
The investment case, well, just looking at the multiples, similar to the others, they're quite cheap. They trade on a multiple of 11, dividend yield of 7.2%. It is a March year end, and they released some excellent numbers for the March year end, I think was around maybe about 2 months later, April, May, might have been in June. And the numbers were really good. It was probably their best performance ever. Took a bit of a wobble in the last quarter with the war and the markets having started depreciating early in the year. But nevertheless, the AUM was £143 billion. Profit before tax was up 31%. And their basic earnings per share were up 34%. Now, things have probably changed for them and the others because of the state of the markets. Nevertheless, still think it's a great company. And they've got exposure not only to the UK, but obviously here and other parts of the world. You know, I guess with 91 and probably more so Quilter, when there's strong markets and markets are doing well, these companies will generally do well as well.
Yeah,
they're good indicators of what's going on in the markets. Things have changed a bit, and I guess the half-year numbers, which will come out in a few months' time, probably not look as rosy. Mm. So that's 91.
Okay, well, maybe I should ask Willem if he can give us kind of the thesis for Quilter, say, opposed, you know, if you were looking at Quilter versus 91, what for you would be the differences or the different appeal in either of those?
Sure. So I think 91's covered. I think Quilter, I think it's probably a similar multiple and a similar dividend yield, maybe a slightly lower dividend yield, but I think it should be priced more in pounds, where 91 is still at least priced half in rands. I think that's also part of the difference. I think the split for Quilter is probably more hard currency and much less sort of emerging market currency exposure, which in terms of performance probably is more negative. I think the JC, it could probably still earn performance fees. So that's definitely a tick in 91's direction. Quilter, I think, is I really like asset managers. I think they are great businesses. They generally do very well. They're very defensive because of the management fee. And even though they aren't performance fees, that generally means sort of they can cover sort of 2 or 3 times their dividend, which is 4 to 6%. That being said, I won't comment too much on Investec. I think that's more of a bank. So yeah. I think it's a different exposure. I think sort of coming off from what I've said, I think the best asset manager to buy right now is Alpex, definitely a Coronation. I think they pay an even higher dividend and they've got an even lower price. But just to summarize on Quilter, I think there you're taking a sort of developed market view, and 91 you're taking sort of a diversified emerging market, developed market view.
Okay. Can I just ask both of you, would you have, an Investec bank? I mean, the investment thesis is for investment bank rather than, say, a South African focused bank. Jonathan, do you like the fact that it has got the UK operations, or is that a detraction?
Not crazy about it. I mean, also similar to 91, also March year end, they came out with very good numbers as well. But, you know, concurring with Willem, I think our South African market generally has done better, and there are better pockets of value in South African Incorporated, which would mean the South African banking sector generally should offer more value than, I guess, a hybrid like Investec, which is a mix of both. Mm. So, you know, we can get to the stock pick later, but it is going to be a South African bank, and it's not Investec Limited. but we can't take it away from them. Their results in March or for March were actually very good.
Yeah.
Now, things might have changed now somewhat, but can't fault them for that. I can just mention something about Quilter. I think it's a June year end, so slightly more delayed. And because of that, I think they took a bit more pain than the other two we're talking about because of that. And I think, if I recall correctly, they actually had a negative earnings growth figure. Can't recall the reason. But Quilter, besides being an asset manager, it's also, into the so-called wealth management business, you know, complete wealth management business, financial planning, asset management, portfolio management, stockbroking and all. So it does a bit of everything, which is a good thing for it relative to a pure asset manager.
Yeah. Okay. Just Willem, just to end off with, not to labor this, but are you quite bearish about exposure to the UK economy and to UK shares in general? So if you own,
yes,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they, I guess they had a very interesting political environment, and then they've got an incredibly large amount of inflation, Brexit. I think the sort of punches just keep rolling. Now the Queen's died, not that that should have any effect on stocks, but it sort of somehow does. I think it's just a tough place to be right now. It's sort of, it used to be the world's sort of central bank, and I think it's kind of lost that sort of, that sort of title, and it's going to take a while to come back. So I'm not very interested in that at all.
Okay. Willem, sticking with you, there's a question on RMB. Please can I have the panel's view on the future of RMB post the special dividend payout? So Atterbury Europe, they've sold, they're going to pay it out. What for you is left there? Is it worth holding on?
I think they're going to take it out. I think it's just sort of a trend South African companies are following. I think sort of PSG's done a trend sort of unbundling everything, buying Mediclinic. I think it's too small to justify listing, especially now. I mean, it used to be a Leviathan with First Chan in it, and then it sort of got rid of that, and then we're getting rid of sort of Atterbury. And I can't even remember. I think it's something like Diversity and Integer. It's small names that are left. I think maybe even with the cash left on the balance sheet, they can afford to buy out the minority. So I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think in the next sort of 6 to 12 months, they're going to come with a decent offer, probably 20-30% above the spot, and it'll just sort of happen. I think it's a formality. It's not something that's on any big fund manager's radar. It's, like I said, I don't think it justifies a JSE listing in its current form.
Okay. But Jonathan, I'm presumably if you're a retail investor, maybe that's a quick buck to be made if you are expecting to be bought, for them to delist, take it out at a bit of a premium, not a bad place to put some money.
Maybe, but I think like Willem said, here's a typical case of a company that's unbundled most of its assets already. And I guess the easier money was made prior to that, or prior to the announcement, had one had an inkling that this was going to happen. Mm. There might be some more value squeezed out of it, but I agree. I don't think, unless it's a cash shell and it's going to be used for something else, which I doubt, I don't think there's any good reason to remain listed once most of the assets are unbundled.
Okay. And then a question before I get to your stock picks. LVMH or Ferrari? Which of the two luxury stocks should I look into? LVMH has more optionality, but Ferrari is the better, stronger brand. I don't know. It depends on whether you like handbags or cars, because you could argue that LVMH is a very, very strong brand. Willem, if you had to pick either of those two, which one would you go for?
Only because there's a gun to my head, I'd say LVMH. I think Ferrari, you think they sell cars, but it's more a commercial machine for hats, key fobs, and perfumes. But their profits aren't good. It hasn't been good for a long time. So LVMH, I think, is a better run business with sort of more diversity and sort of, I think, a better brand, to be honest.
Jonathan, how about you?
I tend to agree. I don't know too much about either of them besides what I see. So I don't know the profits of each company. But here's something for you, Julieta. Mm-hmm. What do you prefer? Toys for boys or toys for girls? Because ultimately, who are your main customers? Driving Ferraris, and who are your main customers using LVMH?
To be honest, I cannot see the sense of driving a Ferrari through Joburg's roads. So I hate to be so parochial, but every time you go through a pothole and hear the crunch, it's probably about, 100,000 rand damage to a tiny little bit of your car. So I'd rather buy a handbag. But anyway, that's my view. Or the maker of the handbag, shall we say. Getting to your stock picks this evening, Jonathan, sticking with you, what would you go for?
Well, we spoke about RMH, which is, I guess, a sister company of First Rand, which is the big retail banking business, part of the same group, or originally part of the same group. It's got a 370 billion market cap. It is the biggest market cap bank in our country at the moment. They did come out with a very nice trading update on Friday. It was an update from a previous trading update, and it was slightly better, where they said headline earnings are going to be up between 20 to 25%, putting them in a range of 576 to 6 Rand. Assume a midpoint of 588 puts them on a P of 11.3 times and a dividend yield of 4.7%. I mean, some of the things that we're expecting here, net interest income improving and probably going to come in at about 6.6%, maybe higher. Growth and non-interest revenue, the consensus is for growth of about 8.1%, and that's led by fee and commission income and a recovery in insurance revenues. And also their credit losses are going to remain low. So we look forward to those numbers.
Okay.
And they're due on Thursday, 15th.
Okay, so first round for you. Willem, how about you?
I'm going to pick Co-op Agri. I've been wanting to pick this stock for the last 3 months. I was just waiting for the unbundling to finish in case there was too big an overhang. But I think the price has come down a lot, and I think that is mainly due to the unbundling. They released a trading statement, I think, sort of tactically, I think maybe Thursday or Friday. I think they're going to make R5.60 on a 37 rand share price, which I think is incredibly cheap. And they pay a solid dividend, I think maybe 5 to 6%. And then fundamentally, I just think the business, if you look at Cape Town or the sort of the Cape area, everywhere they operate, the soft commodity prices are good. The fuel sales business is going to do well. So long term, it's a good buy, and you're getting it at a really good price. And I think the shock of downside is it's happened. The catalyst for that's gone. So there's not much downside left.
Yeah. Okay. So good to wade in now. Right. Well, we shall leave it there. Willem, Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Nice to chat to you both. Jonathan Fisher is from PSG Wealth, Santon Grayson. Willem Oldewacher is from Nitrogen Fund Managers. And we'll be right back, with Stockwatch tomorrow night. Same time, same place. Have a good evening.